From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, a journey into the paranormal world with Tracy Torme. Lots of things to cover when Tracy joins us. Well, a nationwide alert system will use cell phones or other mobile devices to send text messages to you when an emergency occurs. Now, this according to an FCC representative. The representative said that cell phone companies that voluntarily decide into the system would send text-based alert messages to you in response to three types of events. Here they are. A disaster that could jeopardize the health and safety of Americans, such as a terrorist attack. These would trigger a national alert from the President of the United States. Imminent or an ongoing threat of a hurricane, tornado, or earthquake. Child abductions or Amber Alerts. T-Mobile, Verizon, Sprint Nextel, and AT&T have already stated that they would likely be able to opt into the alert system if it is passed by the FCC. Toyota Motor Corporation wants some of you to know that they are recalling 539,500 Corolla and Matrix passenger cars in the United States because the bolts in the power window system can become loose and ultimately cause a window to shatter. Toyota said that it has already received reports of 143 cases in which the bolts of the bottom of the power window assemblies became loose, caused the window to rattle, or led to the window simply breaking. There's been about 15 injuries reported. The recall involves 2003 to 2004 model year Corolla and Matrix vehicles. Well, more nightmares for American Airlines. They canceled more than 1,000 flights on Wednesday, more than one-third of its entire schedule, as it spent a second straight day inspecting the wiring on some of its jets, the same issue that caused it to scrub hundreds of flights 2 weeks ago. The nation's biggest airline had already canceled 460 flights on Tuesday, stranding thousands of travelers. Federal inspectors found problems with wiring work done 2 weeks ago, although the airline says passenger safety was never jeopardized. In New Mexico, working in secret, federal archaeologists have dug up the remains of dozens of soldiers and children near a Civil War-era fort after an informant tipped them off about widespread grave looting. The exhumations, conducted from August to October, removed 67 skeletons from the parched desert soil around Fort Craig, 39 men, 2 women, 26 infants and children, according to 2 federal archaeologists who helped with the dig. The remains are being studied by the Bureau of Reclamation scientists who are piecing together information on their identities. They will eventually be reburied at other national cemeteries. Most of the men are believed to have been soldiers. Fort Craig protected settlers in the West from American Indian raids and played a role in the Civil War. Union troops stationed there fought the Confederacy as it moved into New Mexico from Texas in 1862. The children buried there may have been local residents treated by doctors at the former frontier outpost. Abu Ubaidah al-Masri, one of al-Qaeda's top operatives and the mastermind behind a plot to use liquid explosives. That's the reason why all of us have this problem when we go on planes. You can only carry something up to 3 ounces now. Well, he was responsible for all this. He was the mastermind behind the plan to blow up British passenger jets out of the sky. He is dead. They say the possible cause, hepatitis. There are some, though, that believe he might have been killed in January by a CIA Predator strike. It doesn't matter. He is dead. He was responsible for 2 major terrorist plots, the first being the London subway bombing, and then the one I just mentioned about plans to try to knock out planes that were leaving London to major cities in the U.S. and Canada. He wanted to destroy at least 10 aircraft. 2 members of the Russian doomsday cult that have been hiding in a cave to wait for the end of the world have reportedly died, the first fatality since the group went underground 5 months ago. One was a woman who died from cancer. The other had starved herself to death. Officials in that area were continuing to persuade the remaining members to return from above ground amid fears that the cave they are hiding in is in imminent danger of collapse. An Illinois mother told police that she fatally stabbed her daughter because the six-year-old was possessed by a demon. The 25-year-old mother claims her daughter, Evelyn, attacked her, was charged with two counts of first-degree murder in her death. Well, now, last year, the hurricane predictions didn't come true, but this year, they're predicting something well above average hurricane activity for this season. That's the latest word from a team of Colorado State University forecasters who predict the nation's Atlantic coast will experience a hurricane season well above the average. The forecasters are predicting at least 15 named storms will form in the Atlantic basin between June 1st and November 30th, just a few months away. Eight of the storms are predicted to become hurricanes, and of those eight, four are expected to develop into intense or major hurricanes, with they estimate the winds to be 100, 111 miles an hour or greater. 111, I see it all the time. Well, author and publisher Christopher Burt's fascination with extreme weather began at birth. Chris was born in Manhattan's Lenox Hospital in October of 1954. During New York's most severe hurricane on record, Hurricane Kazel. He studied meteorology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, lives in Oakland, California. We're going to get his reaction to the hurricane season. What do you think this time, Chris? You think they've hit this one?
They make these forecasts every December, April, and June, three times they lead into what they're expecting, along, of course, with other groups, such as the Tropical Storm Risk Company in Britain, who also issued a report very similar to the Gray Quotespick report issued today. However, traditionally, these April forecasts have not been very accurate. To quote from Dr. Gray and Phil Quotespack's report today, they said, these early April forecasts have not shown forecast skill over what we have seen during the 13-year period from 1995 to last year. In other words, this is a quote from their report. In other words, today's forecast has no skill and should merely be viewed as an experimental research product. Now, however, in June 3rd, they will issue their next report, and traditionally this group has been far more accurate with their June forecasts when, of course, we see how all the various factors that come into play to produce tropical storms in the Atlantic come to bear.
Christopher, the one thing we do know, the weather is very turbulent. For example, just today near Breckenridge, Texas, a storm races through that area, a tornado, one dead, at least 15 injured. The storms are violent now these days, more so than before, or is this just a cycle?
No, they're not more violent than they were before. In fact, let's not forget, this is the almost the anniversary of the greatest tornado outbreak in U.S. history in 1974, when, 370 people were killed by 174 violent tornadoes that raced across the Ohio Valley in the south, including an unprecedented five F5 tornadoes in a single day, which has never happened before. However, I think it is interesting that you mentioned what's happening today, because some forecasters are saying that things are setting up right now, as we speak, for a potential repeat of such an event tomorrow, hopefully not with five F5 tornadoes. So it's only, you only normally get one F5 tornado every 3 or 4 years. So you can imagine what five in one day, how extraordinary that is. And that was more than 30 years ago. So no, I wouldn't say things are becoming more extreme, but every day we see extreme weather events occurring all over the world. And I think tomorrow at this time, we will be, it will be a major news story what will happen tomorrow.
All right, Christopher, thank you so much. That's Christopher Burt. And by the way, some time ago, Louisiana attorney Tom Crier was acquitted of all counts of tax evasion. You know, here we are getting really close to the deadline to file your taxes. And just yesterday, the federal government said they're going to crack down on those people who tell others, hey, you don't have to worry about filing because you don't have to. So we're going to get Tom Crier's reaction to that and chat with him a little bit more. The jury acquitted him of all charges of tax evasion. But since then, his practice, his law practice, has been beaten up a little bit because of what he went through. And he now spends all his time to broadcasting the truth called Truth Attack. It's a website, truthattack.org. We'll be back with Tom Crier on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here he is now after years of fighting and litigation, arguing with the federal government after being indicted for two counts of tax evasion. The jury unanimously acquitted him of all charges. But since the IRS had destroyed his practice, his law practice, with a two-year campaign and a fear campaign, it has chased most of Tom's clients away. So now he's trying to get the truth out the way he sees it. He's our guest this hour on Coast to Coast. Tom Crier back with us. Hey, Tom, how you been?
I've been very busy, George. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Really enjoy it.
Have you been able to make the adjustment from being the attorney to talking about the Internal Revenue Service, or are you doing still a little bit of that?
I still am able to do a little bit of my practice. My people are starting to wander out of the woods where they've been run off into the tall grass, and I am still continuing to take care of the cases that I had on and taking in so few extra, but most of my time, most of my time is devoted to Truth Attack and to helping people that are in trouble because the beast is trying to make political prisoners out of them. They're prosecuting people more now than they ever have before. They've really beefed up their budget on persecutions, and really what they're doing is they're prosecuting people for daring to learn the truth and confront the government with it. And there are people today going to prison for that. That's why I do not advocate that people stop filing and paying their taxes. This beast is still dangerous. It's the most dangerous and powerful organization in the world. And since the USSR went down, the KGB went with it, it doesn't even have a close second.
Well, just yesterday, the Assistant Attorney General said that they're going to go after those people who are recommending to others not to file their income taxes. They're going to go after them, claiming, you know, they're making money on this. It's big business for them. Well, and off they go. But, you know, they keep citing, Tom, and this is what I wanted to ask you, of course, is they keep citing the federal government saying, look, the 16th Amendment, you know, it's law. That's the way things are. But so many people who are opposed to the income tax keep saying that you don't have to pay. So what's really going on here?
Well, what's going on is the 16th Amendment is an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, but it's not law. What it does is it authorizes Congress to pass an income tax on those incomes and on those activities that generate income that they're entitled under the Constitution to tax without having to apportion. And what that basically was, it was a Supreme Court case in 1895 called Pollock. And in Pollock, the Supreme Court looked at the source of the income and said, you're really taxing the source, and so that's a property tax. The federal government can't tax property or person. It can only tax vowels. I mean, it can only tax verbs, activities directly.
All right.
Property, any type of property tax, they have to send the bill to the state. It has to be apportioned out to the states. And then the states decide. In other words, the Constitution was set up to where the government could not reach into your pocket or mine. They did not want the federal government having any contact with their people. If you want to contact my people, you've got to come through me, the state. And so the only way, for example, on an indirect tax, a tax on an activity like going out and running a business, would be if I get the last word. I decide whether or not I'm going to buy gasoline. I decide whether or not I'm going to smoke cigarettes or drink alcohol where there's a tax involved. And so Congress can't make me pay an alcohol tax unless I decide to buy alcohol. So I get the last word. And so the 16th Amendment was passed because of that case to say you can't consider the source
in determining that this is a direct or an indirect tax. So it's a little technical, but that was the extent of the 16th Amendment. Well, in 1916, Bruchheimer came out. The Supreme Court had changed its viewpoint on this, and they said, no, an income tax is an indirect tax. It is an excise tax on whatever the activity is that generates the income, and that the 16th did not enlarge the taxing power of Congress any, not one bit. So that means that Congress can't tax anything that it couldn't have taxed before the 16th. So really the 16th is irrelevant.
Now, in your particular case, two counts of tax evasion, you're acquitted, but are you still paying the tax, or did they fine you? What happened there?
No, I haven't filed or paid since 1993, and don't intend to unless and until they can show me they have any lawful authority for demanding that I do so.
You know they're going to come back after you again, aren't they?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. Naturally, I am. Right now, I would consider myself to be an enemy of the state in their eyes. I consider myself to be a blue-blooded American in mind. And I'm standing up for the Constitution and the law the way I swore I would do 35 years ago.
All right, how do you answer this, Tom? Some guy comes up to you somewhere and goes, look, I pay my taxes. You don't. I'm an American. I'm a patriot. You're not. How do you answer that?
I do pay my taxes. I pay every penny of tax that I owe. I pay taxes every day, and I've never complained about it. But I will not stand by and watch the government scam $1 trillion a year out of working households across the country and not try to do something about it. The law is law, and I've got to stand up for it. And the law doesn't require the working American to pay that tax. It doesn't make him liable. Every tax, George, has three things in it that it has to clearly and plainly state. It has to say what is taxed, it has to say how much the tax is, and it has to say who has to pay it. There are over two dozen federal taxes in the Internal Revenue Code. Every one of them has a specific provision, a specific section that identifies plainly and clearly who has to pay that tax. Now, you could put a tax on the moon. But if you didn't say who had the right to check, it would never get paid. There's only one exception to that, and that is the income tax, Subtitle A. It does not. The only liability provision in Subtitle A says that people who are required to withhold taxes on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations are liable for the tax. Nobody else is.
Tell me, what is Truth Attack, Tom?
Truth Attack is an organization that I launched almost a year ago. I was alarmed at the number of people who were not filing because they would learn the truth, and so they would just buck up and do what I did. This is one of those things, don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah.
And they were getting in trouble. They were going to prison. In other words, we were just getting martyr after martyr after martyr because although they knew it was true, they weren't able to go in and defend that truth to a jury. And everybody, the jury comes in, everybody knows the world is flat. And they've always known the world was flat. And, you know, so this guy comes in, he says, no, the world's round. Well, this guy, you're a heretic. They'll burn you at stake. And, if he can go in there and make a convincing case and show them why the world is not flat, that the world really is round, then they say, well, we can't burn this guy. He truly believes this. And that basically is what happened in my case. But not everybody can do that. So I launched Truth Attack to give them a way to where they didn't have to fight one-on-one with the beast. When you're up against an agency like the IRS and you're by yourself, it's easy for them to just roll right over you. They trick you. They undermine you financially like they did me. And then they grind you down. But if you can put yourself in a group of a large number of people, and you make the beast come out of the cave into the light of the truth, and you fight, instead of fighting the beast and his teeth and his talons, and they're dangerous, you fight his myths. You fight the lies that he uses to con Americans out of their hard-earned money, and you use the truth on them. And out here, you know, we decide what the truth is.
All right, stay with us, Tom. We're going to be right back with you when we roll right around the corner here. We'll also open up all the phone lines to give you an opportunity to talk with Tom Cryer. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, in just a moment at the top of the hour, Tracy Torme joins us. We're going to talk about things all paranormal. And a little bit later on next hour, a little special surprise for you. Well, I might as well tell you, Travis Walton is going to join us, Fire in the Sky. He'll talk a little bit about his incredible abduction case. But in a moment, Tom Cryer, your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Tom Cryer with us, your phone calls. Tom, realistically, can the Internal Revenue Service be disbanded and replaced with a fare tax, a use tax, a consumption tax, something other than what's going on right now?
Actually, George, the IRS could be disbanded relative to the income tax entirely, as to the personal income tax, which represents only about 30% of their revenue. They could still perform all of the federal functions that they were intended to perform, all of the services, all the national defense, even at the rate that they're spending now on defense, and still have money to retire the national debt. 56%, more than half of the federal budget, is on issues and on matters that the federal government was never intended or permitted to regulate, and they use the income tax to enable them. It's kind of like if you had a drug fiend, and then you told him, hey, here, I could double your money by stealing from these people. He's not going to turn that money down. He's going to take it, and he'll do whatever he has to do to get it from you, because the government is not a drug fiend, it's a power fiend. And that's just the nature of government. Thomas Jefferson warned us of that 200 and something years ago. It's the nature of government to grow at the cost of liberty. And they have grown. Look at where they are now. And that's one of the effects of what we have. But you could totally eliminate the income tax. Eliminate those agencies at the federal government, like Department of Education. That's not a federal issue. It's a state issue. And I could go on, but well, but the ripples just keep going. The worst part of it is that look at what it would do to revenues on real taxes if that money that they're siphoning off from the working man,
if they could keep
were put
it.
Back into our economy.
Absolutely.
What would happen to their revenues on all the rest of the taxes?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the income tax is only one of about 26 federal taxes. And the personal income tax is only a part of that. But the thing is that most people who work for a living don't even have any income. The IRS has fostered and done it very well over the years, the myth that everything that comes in is income. But that's not what income is. The Congress can't define income. It's not allowed to define it. That's why you won't find a definition of income in the Internal Revenue Code, because the Supreme Court told them you can't define income. If the Congress could define constitutional terms, they could redefine speech as pig Latin. And if you wanted to state your views with impunity, you would have to speak your views in pig Latin. So Congress can't define the terms of its own limitations, so it can't define constitutional terms. Only the Supreme Court can define income. And they've defined it as only being the gain or the profit. Now, the working man goes out, he earns
and,
wage.
And, well, and when you say gain, let's assume the guy makes $30,000 a year. And after he pays his house payment and his car payment and his expenses to live on and his food, say he's got $3,000 left. Isn't that what should get taxed?
Did he make $30,000? He received $30,000.
He received it.
Now, Walmart receives millions every day, but is that their income?
No.
That's their gross receipts.
Exactly.
Well, that $30,000 is his gross receipts. Now, what did he give up in exchange for that $30,000? He gave up a year out of his life.
Right.
He gave up his time, his energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that $30,000, he can't buy that year back, can he?
No, he can't.
He gave up his energy. He gave up his labor. He gave up his knowledge, his expertise, all to the benefit of somebody else in exchange for that $30,000. So was that $30,000 100% profit?
Nope.
Can't be. And yet the IRS will say that, and there's absolutely no legal basis for their telling us that wages and personal earnings are 100% profit, because profit is income.
If anything, the guy might be in the hole at the end of the year.
That's right. That's right. He probably does. And as a matter of fact, if you could not, if your employer, if somebody's employer cannot sell your labor for more than he paid for it, why does he need you?
Exactly.
So you're selling your labor wholesale. You're not selling it at face value. So you're selling your labor for less than it's worth on the market because he's selling it for more than that, so it must be worth more than that. So are you making a profit at all? No. And is there any way for you to distinguish or separate a profit if you did, if you were overpaid? Can you determine how much? The Supreme Court says, look, if you can't determine exactly what part, if you can't fill the hole back up and have a certain amount left over, extra, a gain, an accession to wealth, as the Supreme Court called it, Glenshaw, glass. If you can't have that extra and identify it to the penny how much it is, and you don't know how much is profit and how much is capital, what I call human capital, then you haven't had any income at all, even if you had a gain.
What about someone, Tom, and let me ask you this, and we'll go to calls because they're lining up here for you. What if someone was in excess? In that, let's say we went to this taxation based on your profit, but what if some guy, you know, spent all his money in a bar? Theoretically, you could say he abused his profits, and so he didn't have any income. He didn't pay any taxes. Is that fair?
I think it's a question of freedom there. I mean, if he wants to spend it ruining himself or wasting it, then, or if he wants to give it away to a charity, or if he wants to give it away to the guy down the street or hookers or whatever, it's his earnings, and it's up to him to spend them wherever he chooses. He traded a part of his life for that, part of his, you know, when you and I are born, George, we're born with a certain number of days. We don't know how many they are.
No, let's just.
But once we use one, we can't get it back.
No, you can't.
So when we trade that part of our life for money, we've made an exchange. We haven't just received all profit. And so now, if we've done that, and I give up my life, I give up a week's wage, and I want to go blow it all on a poker game that night, it's kind of mine to do. You know, I hate to say that way, but it's their money.
What do they say, Tom, that from the first of the year that most Americans work through May for the federal government,
yeah,
and then they work for themselves?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Let's take some calls.
What makes it even worse is that what that's saying is that the government has a right to determine how much of your earnings you're allowed to keep. Now, that's slavery.
East of the Rockies. You're on with Tom Cryer. Hi there.
Hi, this is George, just outside of Atlanta.
Hey, George, go ahead.
I was just wondering, is there any way your guest can get in touch with some attorneys or some attorneys, like, all over the nation where people can just go in, sign up, and get a petition going, and just once we get a couple of million signatures, you know, maybe file a class action lawsuit against the IRS? I'm sure they'll get a lot of media's attention, and I'll get my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, Tom? All right.
Well, we're working on something very similar to that. Right now, we have, with Truth Attack, we have thousands of members already. We've been going for less than a year. We're in all 50 states. These people have put over 1 million pieces of mail on the desks of the president, senators, congressmen, the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, Secretary of Treasury. And they are letting them know, we know, the jig's up. You can't lie to us anymore. You can't be remiss. Don't work anymore. It's just like Toto pulling the curtain back. They tell him, don't pay attention to the old man behind the curtain. It's too late. And so what they're doing is they're going to their, and they're also going out and using Truth Attack techniques to spread the message to people that they work with, their families, their neighbors, their friends, and people that they run into at the car wash, dropping off a card with them saying, what income tax, truthattack.org. And that's what we're doing in order to change the perception to at least let the public know that there's an issue. And if the public knows that there's an issue, then whenever they drag somebody into court, they want to burn him at the stake because he's saying the earth is round. Even if these jurors don't know, at least they're not giving the government that. They're going to require the government to prove that the earth really is flat before they burn the guy.
Only
the government can't prove the earth is flat.
Only Ron Paul looks like he's the only candidate who's really talking about the income tax.
Ron Paul is the only candidate that is addressing this issue. He's the only one who has raised the right of a man or a woman to keep the fruits of their labor. And that's what he's telling you there is an absolute truth, constitutionally and legally. The Supreme Court's held that we all have fundamental rights, like the freedom of speech. And you remember the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Mm-hmm. That pursuit of happiness also contains a lot of other rights that come in under the Ninth Amendment. One of those rights that the Supreme Court has recognized is the right to earn a living through your labor, through any lawful occupation. You have an absolute, fundamental, God-given, not government-issued right to do that. Now, the government isn't allowed to tax your exercise of your free speech. They're not allowed to tax your going to church. They're not allowed to tax your earning a living through your labor either. And that's why when the income tax says there is hereby imposed on taxable income, that excludes what you have earned through your exercising your fundamental right to earn a living. So if your wages are not income, because you know it's not all profit, and your wages are from an activity that is tax exempt, and there's no law that makes you liable. So no matter how you go with this, no matter how you look at it, the working American should not ever hear from an Internal Revenue Service agent.
But they do, Thomas. They do,
and they have teeth, and they have talents. I want to remind people of that. They're a dangerous organization, and they have gone total rogue. I mean, these people aren't afraid of anything. They don't feel like they're bound by the law. And that's another thing that we're doing to educate people is that after we get through this Operation Stop Thief that is happening April 15th, we're going to be launching an educational program to people to inform them of their rights, because the Internal Revenue Service violates the law every day, hundreds of times. And every time that they do that, and these investigations and audits, when they're sending out notices to people and they're, in effect, defaming them, it's a chain letter defamation process. Those are felonies. That's against law for them to do that. And it also gives rise to a lawsuit. And we're educating people that you have the right to fight back. You've got teeth, too. You've got talents. And so we're working on this across the board, on the legal side, on the political side, on the social side. And, by the way, I mentioned April 15th. Operation Stop Thief, there will be over 600 post offices across the country that are receiving these late last-minute filers.
Yes.
You know how they line up every year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, at over 600 of those post offices, there will be truth troopers, truth attack truth troopers, out there holding up signs saying, "What income tax? Truthattack.org. And handing out flyers to these, still the blood's still wet, George. It's still steam, because
yeah,
you know that those guys are having to pay extra, or they wouldn't have waited the last minute. And so what better time, what better group to bring to light than those people right then and there? And over 600. Now, we started this a month ago. We announced it a month and a half ago. The response from the community has been, I mean, phenomenal. We're expecting, and I won't be able to play. I was really looking forward to being out here with my group in front of the post office. I won't be able to play because I've got to go to Washington, D.C. on the 15th. They're expecting over 100,000 people to show up for a freedom rally on the Capitol steps. I'll be speaking at that rally Tuesday midday. I'll be one of the first speakers at that rally.
Yeah.
Over 100,000 people are expected to be showing up for this thing to say, we want our Constitution back. We want our freedom back.
Well, what we're going to need, Tom, is probably a few million. Wild card line, you're on with Tom Cryer. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Evan and Goodrich.
Michigan, that's right. Go ahead, Evan.
Okay, April 9th, 1933, FDR, by executive order, declared bankruptcy when he suspended the gold standard and compelled, through coercion, the surrender of private people's gold. HGR 192 from Congress followed in June of that year. And then we have Erie Railroad versus Tompkins in 1938, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution, the common law, is dead, and everything is commerce, including our names, our bodies via the birth certificate. However, it is a bankrupted corporation, and since the corporate United States is legally comprised of only the District of Columbia and the federal territories, obviously the organic de jure Michigan sovereign republic at all do not come under that presumed valid authority, especially since it's a bankrupted corporation, which means they have the legal standing only of a debtor. So everything is threat, duress, coercion. Isn't that right, Tom?
No. Sorry. What you got there is a lot of snake oil that's been sold to you, and I run into that a lot. The Internal Revenue Service is a very, very clever and very, very effective disinformation and misdirection project going, and they've had it going for years, and they've injected into the tax honesty community a lot of this chafe in order to, and they promoted it, and there are IRS agents in the tax honesty community who are out there promoting and selling this notion that we have a straw man, our name in capital letters, and our birth certificates have been posted as security, and that we're commodities, and that the common law is, or Constitution is dead, and common law is ruined, and then they get into the UCC. They've got all of these things that are really without any basis whatsoever. And they'll take a piece of a case from here and a piece of a statute from here, and they'll cut and paste them together. And it's kind of like, you know, in the old murder mysteries where they would cut letters out of magazines and newspapers to make a message.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing with this. But it's most of this is actually originated in the Internal Revenue Service. And this notion, though, of the bankruptcy, and others will tell you England bought us in. Another one will tell you that now lawyers have to swear a secret oath to the Queen of England, and that they belong to the BAR, the British Accreditation Registry. And, you know, it's just a lot of this stuff, and 99% of this comes from the IRS. 99% of it's originated with that. When people are promoting it and spreading it, all they're doing is basically serving the Internal Revenue Service's purpose in confusing, diffusing, and keeping everybody separated from the truth. Distract them. I mean, if you're going to lie to somebody, you don't want them to look at the lie. You want them to look somewhere else. So you do that. It also makes it easy for them to convict people.
Well, let me tell you this time, a minute to go here or so. We are suffering in this country from such a gap between those who have and those who have not. And the middle class is being pushed aside.
No, middle class is being siphoned into the lower class.
Well, that's
the
true.
The Federal Reserve using this fiat money, George.
How long can this continue before Americans say enough is enough?
I'm hoping it's done now. I am seeing this year a degree of activism, and I'm seeing a degree of, and I attribute Ron Paul with this. Ron Paul has reawakened interest in the Constitution and in the concept that this government was supposed to have been operating under. That has been ignored for years and years. You and I didn't get this in school. I had to learn this in law school. I had to learn this on my own through my own studies.
But he got shunned by mainstream media. If it wasn't for the alternative media, this program, and the Internet, nobody would have known what Ron Paul was all about.
And that's why, you know, and your program and programs like it that are willing to put the truth on, and, of course, mainstream media is owned by big business. All right, who owns the banks? Big business. Who runs the Federal Reserve? The banks. Now, whenever you take, I'll give you a terrific, Tommy.
We got to run. We're at the top of the hour, but I promise you, we'll get you back on. All right, Tom Cryer, his website. He's got two of them: truthattack.org, liefreezone.com. They're linked up at coasttocoastam.com. This was a fast hour, Tom Cryer. Acquitted on two counts of tax evasion. We'll be back.